Hi, Dave Emery here. Side 2 of For the Record program number 796. Sterling Example. Another visit with Daniel Hopsicker. This is being recorded on June 1st of the year 2014. And June is indeed, and here's a pun, busting out all over. Daniel, welcome back to our airwaves.
Happy to be with you.
Alrighty. Once again, madcowprod.com, that's where your articles are, that is where your books are, and as the editor of the Mad Cow Morning News, what I call the herd shot round the world, you have covered, among other things, that noted condom and former owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, Donald Sterling, and his recent intemperate remarks about race, etc., are in many ways the least noteworthy of the things that he has been up to. We were talking about some of his shady business deals inside one. Let's cut right to the chase, so to speak. Donald Sterling really had a press release in 2006 lauding the work of Rami El-Batrawi on behalf of the homeless. And as you point out in your article, this was under the rubric something like the Donald Sterling Center for the Homeless or Medical Center for the Homeless or whatever. And you point out that there was no such institution, not then, and there isn't now. And Rami El-Batrawi did no work for the homeless. So I think even the least curious among us might be inclined to ask the question, what's going on here?
Right. And okay, the press release is the point. Because I've seen that same method used in the drug trafficking I've been following here in Florida. Okay? We had two companies, Rami El-Batrawi and Adnan Khashoggi, owned a company called Genesis Intermedia from Van Nuys that was involved in what was up until that time, this is 2002, 2003, the biggest brokerage failure. They caused the biggest brokerage failure in American history through lending out stock that he didn't own and then walking away from it. Deutsche Bank was eventually forced to pay $257 million to make some of the investors and brokerage owners whole. Okay?
Right.
Huge, huge scandal. But Rami El-Batrawi and Adnan Khashoggi were pumping out press releases about the wonders of Genesis Intermedia. Now, Rami El-Batrawi also owned what became the second DC-9 used in the drug trafficking out of St. Petersburg, Florida, helmed by a company called Skyway. And Skyway did the same thing that Genesis Intermedia and Donald Sterling did. And here's where it gets really interesting, because Skyway was a pump-and-dump situation where they had no product, but they raised $40 million from investors. They pumped up the stock, cashed out, and walked away. But the people that pumped up the stock with them, see, it's not just enough anymore for a company to say, hey, we're doing great. You have to have other companies saying, hey, we just bought a lot of stuff from this guy. And one of the companies that was pumping up this nothing company about to go out of business was Titan, a big San Diego defense company that's now part of L3, which is like the third largest defense company in the country. And so put out a press release for Skyway saying they were buying $500 million worth of a product that didn't exist less than 6 weeks before the company went bankrupt. And the only reason they issued that press release was to hold the stock price up so that insiders could continue to cash out. There's no defense for having done that whatsoever.
Skyway was the owner of a couple of DC-9 jet aircraft, and those were, correct me if I'm wrong, those were the planes that, well, I guess one crash landed and one was busted down in Mexico with
tons
of coke.
It's really interesting because they were both owned by Skyway.
Right.
One was busted in Yucatan with 5.5 tons of cocaine on board.
Right.
The next year, a year later, a Gulfstream 2 from St. Petersburg was crash landed with 4.4 tons of cocaine in the Yucatan. And the ownership of these two planes were interlocking.
Okay.
Adnan Khashoggi and Rami Obatrai were involved with both. And the owners of the Gulfstream, the second plane,
right,
had been used by the CIA in extraordinary renditions before it got caught running drugs.
Okay.
And when you examine the registration documents of both planes, you see the same thing that I saw with Barry Seal's planes. If you, like, it's easy to spot once you know what you're doing, okay? The CIA never sells a plane to the public, okay? These planes never go to Joe Schmo out in Kenosha, Wisconsin, okay? They go from Adnan Khashoggi to some guy in Kansas City who used to run TOW missiles for Oliver North to the Iranians, to Rami Albatrawi, this Saudi in Miami, who used to do the same thing. They're CIA planes. There's no doubt. And in fact, Albatrawi got his plane, which he then gifted to Skyway, from Finova Capital, right, which was revealed during, now this is getting arcane, during Southern Air Transport's bankruptcy proceedings. Remember Southern Air Transport? Richard Secord, Iran-Contra thing that
right,
flew weapons to the Contras, came back with cocaine.
Right.
That airline was owned by Finova out of Toronto, which is a CIA front.
Okay. Then let's give some background here for younger listeners, bearing in mind that the median age of Americans now is 37 years old, and the Iran-Contra was effectively buried in 1992 when the George H.W. Bush administration wound up. And that was pretty much the end. The fellow who appears to be the superior to Rami Albatrawi, his effective boss, I think we could say, Adnan Khashoggi, a man with, as I like to say, more connections than a switchboard. His role in a number of things, including the Iran-Contra scandal, because although it's a very important name, it is not one that we hear a lot about. Maybe what we'll do here, Daniel, is I'll just toss out in connection with the name of Adnan Khashoggi some bullet points, and that's appropriate under the circumstances, and you can fill in the blanks, so to speak. No pun intended. Okay. Adnan Khashoggi and the TOW missiles and the Iran-Contra scandal.
Yeah. And Adnan Khashoggi and Mohammed and Dodi Fayed, like who was killed with Princess Di, and Adnan Khashoggi, because I'm looking for references that aren't quite so arcane. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Adnan Khashoggi was involved with Paul McCartney's ex-wife Heather, who it turns out was an escort for Adnan Khashoggi and rich Saudis before she met Paul McCartney.
There you go.
I mean, you know, and he had the biggest divorce settlement in history. I think it was $1.2 billion. Soroya. So I mean, Adnan Khashoggi has been a major global player for as long as you and I have been around. His first big scandal was with Lockheed in the 70s, and he is one. Here's what. All you need to know about guys like Adnan Khashoggi is this. When the CIA operates domestically, they want to use non-American citizens to create another level of plausible deniability. That's why the two flight school owners in Venice were Dutch, and that's why guys like Adnan Khashoggi operate for the purposes of outfits like the CIA.
Khashoggi, very brief, let me just fill in a couple of quick blanks. He's a guy who could be viewed as an historical threat. He wants to so many things, again, Iran-Contra, all kinds of scandals. He got his start, by the way, in a $25 million truck deal that he did with Mohammed bin Laden, Osama bin Laden's father. He then helped to finance Osama bin Laden's activities as part of the so-called Golden Chain Letter personnel. And then, as you noted in some of your articles in the middle of the last decade, Adnan Khashoggi was also apparently helping to finance the so-called 911 truth movement about, you know, controlled demolition of the World Trade Center, no planes, etc., a readily verifiable disinformation campaign, but one that was really quite effective in getting people not to pay attention to the Bin Laden family's longtime business partners, the Bushes, and a lot of other people as well. And so Adnan Khashoggi is a major player, has appeared to be essentially untouchable for decades. And at the time that Donald Sterling was floating a press release from his non-existent homeless center on behalf of non-existent humanitarian work on behalf of the homeless by Rami El-Batrawi, Khashoggi and Batrawi were defrauding people of hundreds of millions of dollars.
And they were on the lam. They were being not very energetically pursued, but there were arrest warrants out for him. This is another shocking thing to me. Okay, where I find major drug trafficking, I also find major financial fraud by the same people.
Right.
So there's a class of persons who operate with impunity.
Dan, before we talk about the class of persons, let me toss this right out to you. Why, in your opinion, was Donald Sterling doing this illusory puff work on behalf of Khashoggi's right-hand man, Rami El-Batrawi, at this time? Why was he doing that?
I can only speculate.
Right.
If the two of them both worked for a large unnamed organization, grouping,
mm-hmm.
It would be one hand washing another. Okay? I mean, Jim Garrison said something, and I know I can't. When you see a lot of guys operating, and women too, moving here and there as if they're being coordinated by an unseen hand, well, that unseen hand is the company they all work for. Okay?
I mean,
CIA guys don't have CIA parking passes in their rear windshields, okay? So, and the CIA may not be the outfit in question either. And I'm pretty convinced at this point that that the NSA has played a much bigger role in controlling the drug trade than has come out. And I think hopefully now some of that will begin to, because people will realize, well, if the NSA is vacuuming, let me tell you one thing that you may or may not know. The building, the magnificent corporate structure, headquarters, that Skyway moved into when they had like 14 employees,
sure,
was owned by an Israeli telecom company, which changed their name, but it was an Israeli Defense Industries connected firm, and they changed their name to Verint, and then they were given by the U.S. government a $2 billion contract to help the Mexican government vacuum up every phone call in Mexico. They owned the building Skyway operated out of.
Does not surprise me one bit. I really don't want to get into the whole Snowden milieu, because there's no way that I could do justice to what I've already done, and I'm going to be updating that.
Snowden has got nothing to do with that. I the Verint connection. When the NSA came into play a year ago, okay, because most of us, before that, NSA stood for no such agency. When it came into play, there were like stories, it became more visible, didn't it?
It did, and there was a reason for that. Actually, there were a number of reasons for that. Let's just say, because I want to get into the tangle of airlines that you have been investigating, really starting with Barry Seal's early flights, so to speak, and moving right on up through Iran-Contra-related activities and September 11th and so many things that have come out since. But again, vis-a-vis, NSA hoovering up communications, I was talking about that on the air from open sources in the mid-1990s. I mean, this is not... The question is why all of a sudden A bunch of spooks, including these so-called whistleblowers, are saying this now, thereby convincing a large percentage of the young Americans who had been supportive of Barack Obama that they should, you know, who either not vote, vote for Rand Paul, or perhaps for Jeb Bush because he speaks Spanish or something. But anyway, the things you've been investigating, the thing that I think is arguably the strongest feature of your work, and it's why I refer to you as a heroic investigative journalist, concerns the threads of really insidious conspiracy that you have been investigating, starting with Barry Seal, who may very well have been involved in the Kennedy assassination and winding up through Iran-Contra. Then a lot of those same Iran-Contra-related elements morphing into, or perhaps evolving into, the Huffman Aviation, Rudy Decker's, Arne Krutoff milieu. Then we have Mohammed Atta coming in through that milieu. And as you began, not began, but as you continued to investigate that milieu, my favorite word again, you began branching out and you find, again, Skyway. You know, my way is the Skyway. You find these funky planes flying, you know, 10 tons of cocaine. I mean, what's 10 tons of cocaine between friends? And doing things that would land the average citizen in prison for the rest of their lives, and yet doing so with relative impunity, and that because obviously they are being covered for by some very powerful elements of officialdom, and that really is what lurks in the background of Donald Sterling. And it is amazing, Daniel, when you look over your articles. I was doing a word search on some of our interviews based on your articles, and how many of these different operations turn out to be manifestations of the same much larger operation.
Yeah, and that's, I think, my ultimate point is the global narcotics cartel that brings drugs into the U.S. is not run by Mexicans with bandoliers across their chest. They look a lot more like American bankers than they do, you know, mustachioed mountain dwellers in Sinaloa, and that's proven now. And the latest proof of it was actually a result of the two planes that I've been investigating for 6 years, because there's stuff still going on about them. I don't know if you read about the story I did about Don Whittington. The DEA affidavit that they did on Whittington.
Well, this, by the way, interrupting very briefly, Daniel, in our next interview, which I'd like to do relatively soon, if that's okay. I've got a lot of stories I want to cover, but you did the whole, and once again, this is one of the investigations that overlaps this whole Sterling imbroglio, but the whole Tampa Black Ice operation involving the aforementioned Mr. Whittington, which again overlaps and tracks back to your other previous investigations.
Yeah, and the point being, when you see a Coast Guard admiral give a press conference and say, you know, our cutter just got back from the Caribbean, and we took 12 tons of cocaine, you know, off the streets, making the streets safe for your kids, safer for your kids than they were before. It's a lie. The Coast Guard hasn't taken 12 tons of cocaine off the streets of America. They've taken 12 tons of somebody else's cocaine off the streets, because cocaine is reshelved with probably greater efficiency than Charmin bathroom tissue is. So the whole war on drugs is to bust the independents, to bust the opposition, to bust the freelancers, and it's insidious, because first they put 2 million Americans in prison. They've got like a $70 billion a year prison industry going, a $40 billion a year drug war going, And yet, all of our banks would go out of business without drug money. And that comes up. Well, I mean, the most recent example was last year with the British bank.
HSBC.
Yeah. They admitted laundering $787 million worth of drug money. Nobody went to prison.
Yeah. One of the things, by the way, Daniel, very quickly, parenthetically, one of the things that a lot of people don't know about, and indeed I didn't know about it until relatively recently, one of the things that enters into the behind-the-scenes politics in terms of prosecuting these very large corporations, which, by the way, because of their money, can afford some very expensive lawyers and make prosecuting them not only very time-consuming but expensive, they do something called a consent decree. What this is a behind-the-scenes agreement that, okay, we'll let you off the hook now, but if we ever catch you in something else, then you go to prison and out of business. That lies behind a lot of this, I suspect with HSBC. But a couple of things relating to your earlier points, Daniel. You were talking about the Coast Guard. When I was unable for broadcast, when I was recuperating, I did an article about the, quote, suicide, unquote, of Catherine Harris's husband. You talk about the former Secretary of State of Florida as being one of the people who sort of covered for some of these phantom airlines in the constellation.
Exactly. Right, well, the Norwegian guy, right?
He was Swedish, actually.
Okay.
And he committed suicide. What I noted is that he had been in his business was making appliances for luxury yachts. And the first thing that occurred to me was, gee, what a wonderful vehicle for drug smuggling. You know, you put a color TV filled with cocaine and, you know, you've got yourself a little landing party, so to speak. He also had been involved with companies that evolved from the empire of Axel Werner Grin, who was a good friend of Hermann Göring and the supporter of Hitler. That's neither here nor there. But you were talking about the cocaine that the Coast Guard supposedly kept from the streets of America. One of the things that has been very much in the news is that there is an epidemic of heroin addiction, in particular in the American Northeast, and just ravaging middle and lower middle class neighborhoods. It is interesting that for the last decade and a half or so, we've been involved in a war in Afghanistan, which is...
You haven't heard much about the heroin over there, have you?
Well, of course, Walter Hilliard's plane got caught with 43 pounds of heroin, and I'm just noting that the operations that you have been dealing with in Florida...
Can I say one thing there?
Absolutely.
Just 1 second. Okay. I spent a month down here with the famous writer who wrote the last big book about 9/11, Anthony Summers.
Right.
A guy who, I had a lot of respect for. Charming individual, and 43 pounds of heroin comes in on a flight school owner's Learjet.
Right.
2 weeks after Muhammad Atta arrives to go to flight school here.
Sure.
And it doesn't make it into his damn book. Boy, that's when I knew how totally corrupt things were.
Well,
he wrote a book about the Kennedy assassination that opened my eyes.
It was a good book called Conspiracy. Noting, though, Daniel, again, the point that I was making and that heavily overlaps your various investigations is that for the last decade and a half or so, we have been involved in a war in Afghanistan, which is the world's largest producer of opium poppies, the brother of the current president, Hamid Karzai, is credibly reported by even the state source as the New York Times to have been implicated in the drug traffic and also working with CIA or elements thereof. And yet, isn't it mysterious that we now have an epidemic of heroin addiction on the streets of America? You don't suppose there might be any link between our involvement in Afghanistan and the fact that all of a sudden small town and large town America is heroin central?
A rhetorical question,
obviously.
It's the hypocrisy of it. If somebody had come out and said, oh, we don't want communists in Laos controlling the Golden Triangle heroin trade, or we don't want Islamic fundamentalists controlling opium growing in Afghanistan.
The Golden Crescent.
Correct. That makes sense to me. But we can't do that because drugs are bad. Drugs are illegal. And it's prohibition. I mean, if prohibition had never ended, remember prohibition?
I don't remember, but I've read about it, sure.
Yeah. If prohibition never ended, Al Capone's grandkids or great-grandkids would rule the world. Well, we've had drug prohibition for the past 70, 80 years, and that's done nothing but make some people, made a sliver of the elite in every country in the world in which drugs are sold immensely wealthy.
Yes, it is. A funny thing about the origins of heroin, Daniel, it was actually invented by the Bayer Corporation, same company that made aspirin, invented aspirin, as, among other things, a cure for opium addiction and a cough suppressant especially effective in children. Then, prior to World War II, the Bayer Corporation, part of the old IG Farben and Truman chemical cartel, developed a synthetic opiate to treat casualties because they were afraid that the British blockade would prevent the shipment overseas of enough opium for a war. They called it Dolophine, D-O-L-O-P-H-I-N-E, in honor of Adolf Hitler. After the war, they wanted to use the drug, but they didn't think the name would work, so they renamed the drug. They called it methadone. Now it's used to treat heroin addiction.
Amazing. Yep. Well, you know, I mean, mankind has been, I mean, they found cocaine on mummies, right? Mankind has been toying with its consciousness, probably with good and bad effects, for, you know, 70 millions of years.
Sure.
Okay? It's not going to stop. The only thing making something illegal does is make the provider of it immensely wealthy.
Absolutely. Daniel, we are almost out of time, but I want to remind listeners of, and maybe sort of give you a gentle mad cow prod, to coin a term.
I bet your listeners all know who I am.
Right. Well, the point is that your investigations of so many of these tributaries, including the Sky One connections and the others to which we have alluded, took place in Florida, and they overlap the Iran-Contra milieu and in things that took place in Florida when Jeb Bush, the son of the man for whom CIA headquarters is named, governor.
Jeb Bush runs for president, okay?
If
I'll be able to, yeah. Well, I guess he's going to, and thank God because I've got dirt on him, like you won't believe.
Well, I'm saying I would be willing to bet he becomes the Republican nominee. I may be wrong, but we'll see what happens. It will be very interesting to see what you can provide in terms of kindling for the fires, because you are sitting right there on, I guess you could say, Bush 1 down there in Florida, where so many of the things in which he was entangled and which he helped to cover up, including September 11th, took place. So you are coming into what I think will be a Jeb Bush candidacy in 2016. You the man, Daniel.
Well, you know, Dave, I want to congratulate you on waiting until like the 58th or 59th minute to introduce the word tributary into the conversation.
Well, I got milieu in a lot earlier, so you know, I'm batting 500. Daniel, madcowprod.com, your books, and the Mad Cow Morning News, the herd shot round the world. This concludes Side 2, for the record, program number 796. Sterling example, another visit with Daniel Hotzicker, being recorded on June 1st of 2014. For Daniel Hotzicker, this is Dave Emery saying, ciao.